Well, good morning. If you do not know me, my name is Jonathan, and I was a pastor here for a while. And I haven't been a pastor here for a while. It seems like it hadn't been that long, but it has been about 4 years. And so every now and then they let me come back and speak from my heart. And so I'm happy to do that today. Before I get started, and those of you watching online, I know that you can appreciate this as well, but can we just thank the staff and the pastors and the leaders and the musicians and the volunteers at Cornerstone and what makes, and them, the people that really make it happen. Pastor Dustin is a dear friend of mine, my best friend in the world. And let me just say that you know, I know that y'all have just recently transitioned, and let me just say that Pastor Dustin is the real deal, and he is legit, and he loves you, and he loves Orangeburg, he loves his hometown, and so please hang with him. Let him lead you boldly. He is praying. He is following God. Follow him as he follows Jesus, just like Paul said, and this church is going to continue to reach people, not just in Orangeburg, but across South Carolina and across the United States of America and across the world, if you'll follow him and you'll listen to him. His heart is pure. How many of you, and if watching online, you can just put a little hand raise emoji in the comments. How many of you are tired? You tired? I mean, I think it's a perpetual thing that we live in today. It's just this being tired. And one of the things I started thinking about several months ago is I'm just having conversations and talking with people and meeting people is that the majority of us are tired. And it's really no wonder if you think about it. I mean, think about what you do on a given day. If you're a mom, if you're a parent, if no matter how old you are, no matter how your responsibilities may look, you're a busy person. It's just the culture we live in. And then not only is it the things you do, but how many of you would say that it's not the things I do that wear me out, but it's the things that I think about. It's the emotional stress. It's the emotional toll that life tends to play on me. It's the things that go through my mind over and over and over again that I don't really want to think about, and I know I shouldn't think about, and I have no control over, and I know there's nothing that I can do with them. It's the relationships that I have to manage. Anybody have any hard to manage relationships? It's the conflict that you don't want to have. It's recovering from the past year and a half that has been just tumultuous, not just with the pandemic, but the cultural stuff, the political stuff. And I think if a lot of us were honest today, we would say that we're tired. We live in a tiring world. It's almost like our minds are in a 24/7 sprint towards a destination that we never seem to get to. And so you replay and you're moving and you're being stimulated and you're reacting and you're being notified and you're being interrupted. And I think if we're honest today, I think most of us would say if you're above the age of 7, that you're tired. You're tired. It's what I hear all the time. It's almost like a badge of honor that we wear. Well, how you doing? Man, busy, tired. When's the last time you asked somebody how they're doing? Like, well, rested and happy. Got plenty of spare time. We don't say that, do we? Then you look like a slacker, right? But we're tired. And if I'm honest this morning, personally, me too. I'm tired. It's not the things I do, but it's more of the things that I think about. It's more of the things that I manage. And so I had this thought several weeks ago. What if my being tired isn't because I don't get enough sleep? But what if there's something different? Today, I want to talk for just a few moments, and I just kind of want to walk through a passage of Scripture, just share from my heart. And my title today is Rest Assured. Rest Assured. We're going to be in Luke 10. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. And this is a story that if you've been in church for a while or if you follow Jesus for a while, you know this story. But in verse 38 says, as Jesus and the disciples continue on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village, which we find out from the other gospels is Bethany, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And so Jesus and his disciples, they're traveling, and they come into this home of a family friend. This is Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This is their house. These are family friends of his. These are some people that we would encounter with Jesus several times throughout the Gospels. And so Jesus and his disciples are traveling through. They pull the van over and they find themselves at this home. Now, it's interesting that this passage and Luke specifically says it's the home of Martha, because in this culture, it would have typically been accredited to the male in the family. And so we don't really know where Lazarus is. There's no clarification there. But it's obvious that Martha is the host of Jesus and his disciples. And now look how Luke contrasts Mary and Martha in this story. Verse 39 says, her sister, Mary, sat. Mary sat. Now, this is the indication of a humble spirit, a lady who is willing to humble herself and sit in a place of humility, signifying her willingness just to listen and learn. It says, Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. So that word sat would literally mean to settle in. To settle in or to dwell. How many of you have a recliner at home? And you don't just sit in it, but you settle in it. Y'all got that? You know what I'm talking about? It's the one that you come home and you get your ice cold glass of sweet tea, right? And you don't just sit in it, but you settle, right? And you just kind of kick your feet up, and like the cushion is kind of like melded to your buttocks. You know what I'm saying? And so you don't just sit in it, but you like settle in it, right? You fall into it. That's kind of what that little level of comfort is what Mary is going for here. She's settled in with Jesus. She's dwelling with Jesus. Mary is resting. She's resting with Jesus. Mary is a really good rester. In fact, every time we encounter this Mary, Mary of Bethany in Scripture, she is at the feet of Jesus. So Mary sits, dwells, settles in at the feet of Jesus to receive his teaching. Now, I don't want to overlook the fact that Mary is settled in and sitting at the feet of Jesus is an indication in the position of not just humility, but also of a disciple. And the reason why that's important is because in this culture, being a disciple would have meant that you were a man. But yet here's Jesus in the home of Mary and Martha, and Jesus has this seat, or Mary has this feet at the seat, at the feet of Jesus, a position reserved for a disciple. And I don't want to overlook that today, because I think our culture needs to know that Jesus is all about flipping the switch on what culture says, that Jesus is all about uplifting people that culture pushes down. If you want to be like Jesus today, just for a second, the easiest way I think that you can be like Jesus is you can help up those that culture pushes down. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, Mary, I know that you're not supposed to be here according to culture, but Mary, welcome. Settle in, dwell in, take a rest, take this place of a disciple. I think Mary knows something that we don't, and that is this. Sometimes it's okay to sit. It's okay. Sometimes it's okay not to be doing anything. And some of us are tired and worn out because we think that productivity equals holiness. But Mary, she's sitting. And one of the reasons why I think I don't sit in silence sometimes at the feet of Jesus is because I'm almost scared what the silence is going to bring. I'm almost afraid of what's going to come into my mind as I sit in the silence. But Mary, she takes this place at the feet of Jesus. And one commentator I read said this, and I've never heard this before, and I'm not saying this happened, but I think it's a good thought. He said this. He said, what if Mary had done her fair share of work in the kitchen, and now she's gone to rest with Jesus? In other words, what if Mary, because we're about to see Martha's busy in the kitchen, in case you don't know this story, but what if Mary, Martha is about to perceive her as lazy, but what if Mary had already done her part? What if she's the one who cracked the eggs? What if she's the one who stirred the flour? What if Mary has already done her part and now she's realized what is important. And so even though things aren't perfect in the kitchen, Mary's gone to sit at the feet of Jesus because she knows she needs the rest and she needs the teaching of Jesus. What if she is choosing the moment with Jesus and resting at the feet of Jesus over the perfection that Martha is going for in the kitchen? Some of you are tired today because your perfection, your perfectionism is robbing you of your rest. Because you're one of those people, right? Where when everything gets lined up, when my kids look a certain way, when my marriage looks a certain way, when my house is perfect, when I finally make the renovations, when my kids finally have matching socks. Y'all are weird if your kids have matching socks. Let me just say, get over yourself. Dear, it's okay if your kids have matching socks. We're not judging you. You're probably judging us. But if you wait for everything to get perfect, for you to decide that it's okay to rest, you will never get to the place of rest. Because there's nothing more demoralizing than chasing after something, only to realize that when you get there, it wasn't what you were looking for. And that's what perfectionists do. You're constantly chasing after this view of perfection. And once you get what you thought it was, you have to go to the next place because that didn't satisfy. And some of you, you are running yourself ragged because you're waiting for things to be perfect. You can slow down now because they're never going to be perfect. If you're a perfectionist, one of my questions this morning would be, how did you get your idea of perfection? Like, where did you get it from? Who told you what perfection looks like? Because if you're honest, you didn't get your idea of perfection from God. You got it from culture. And so now you are at your wit's end. You are emotionally, you are physically, you are spiritually exhausted because you're chasing after a goal that God never even gave you. Here, have this, write this down. Type this in the comments so you don't forget it. It's okay for things just to be okay. Man, isn't that freeing? Woo! It's okay for things just to be okay with the things that are around you. Just sit back, relax. Take some rest. Take some time to sit at the feet of Jesus. Take a few moments in the evening where you quit cleaning the kitchen and you just have some quiet time with Jesus and you sit at his feet and you let him tell you what his idea of perfection is and you let him tell you who he thinks you are and you rest at his feet. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. It can just be okay. It's okay to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's okay to rest. Our culture doesn't celebrate it. But it's okay. Can I suggest that if you're a perfectionist, that you take a lead from Mary and you allow the teaching of Jesus, you allow the quiet moments, you allow just a few minutes reading his word, you allow just a few minutes praying to give you rest and you quit chasing perfection. So then Martha, Mary is seated at the feet of Jesus, and then Martha comes out of the kitchen. I would imagine her hair is probably in a bun, probably got a rolling pin in her hand, probably flour on her apron, a scowl on her face. And this is what she says. It says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all of the work? Tell her to come and help me. Now, typically when you hear this sermon preached in church, we beat up on Martha. We beat up on Martha. She's an easy target because not only is she a busybody, but she's also got an attitude. And so normally when you hear this message preached, we beat up on Martha. But I don't want to do that today because let's face it, Martha is the get it done girl and somebody has to be. Matter of fact, I got a little Martha in me. I got a little bit of Martha in me because it aggravates me when there's stuff to be done and I'm the one doing it and everybody else is sitting around twiddling their thumbs. Anybody else? If you're a type A kind of get it done person, you sympathize with Martha. And so I don't want to beat up on Martha, and I don't think Jesus is about to do that either. I don't think Jesus is about to beat up on Martha. I don't think he's condemning her for what she's doing. I think he's about to correct her for what she's missing. And that's what happens to the get it done person. The get it done person, while they're essential, oftentimes they will miss what's most important because they focus so much on the details. Now, don't get the story twisted, because Martha isn't trying to avoid Jesus. These are family friends of Jesus. It's not like Martha's in the kitchen as an excuse so that she doesn't have to hang out with Jesus, which some of y'all do at Thanksgiving and Christmas with your families. You stay in the kitchen so you don't have to interact with the family, don't you? Uh-huh, caught you. You're not as smooth as you think you are. And so, but that's not Martha's story. Martha loves Jesus. This is a family friend of Jesus. But Martha was more concerned about the busy work in the kitchen. It's almost like Martha was so concerned doing what was expected that she missed the guest of honor. And some of you this morning, the reason why you're worn out is because you've been living up to other people's expectations. Or you've been trying to, haven't you? And so maybe it started when you were really little. Maybe living up to your parents or whoever raised you's expectations was the only time you ever heard, I love you. And so as long as you met their expectations, everything was fine. But when you didn't, you never got the affirmation that you needed. And so it started when you were really, really young. And then you got a little older, and that affirmation for living up to other people's expectations wasn't just from your parents, but it came from your friends, it came from your boyfriend, it came from your girlfriend, and then it came from your spouse, and now it even comes from your kids and your coworkers and your boss. And for so long, you've been trying to live up to others' expectations that you don't even know what it's like to hear I love you without feeling like you have to do what they want you to do, and it's killing you. And so you continue to try to keep up. You're so concerned with what they expect that you've never truly even believed what Jesus says about you and what he expects from you. Because your idea is so twisted of what love even means and what it even means to please someone, your idea is so twisted that you don't even know what Jesus thinks of you. But maybe it's time for you to forget about the mess in the kitchen for just a moment and quit trying to pretend to be somebody you're not and be your real self at the feet of Jesus. See, Martha, she's in the kitchen trying to live up to the expectations. Martha, she's in the kitchen trying to make sure everything is perfect and everything is prepared. Meanwhile, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what do you learn at the feet of Jesus? You learn that you're okay just the way you are. That it's not about what you do that earns the love of other people. Because at the feet of Jesus, that's not the case. At the feet of Jesus, you hear that you are loved. You hear that you are saved. You hear that you are chosen. You hear that you are forgiving. You hear that you are enough. You hear that you don't have to earn it. You hear that it's giving to you. Take some time and sit at the feet of Jesus. Just talk to him for a few moments. Just stop trying to meet their expectations. Quit trying to play make-believe in who you are, because you can't keep up with the different people you have to be in order to meet different people's expectations. And just sit at the feet of Jesus and let Jesus say, son, daughter, I love you just the way you are. It's okay. Yes. Because if you don't, and I feel this in my spirit, there's some of you and you're wasting your very life. You're about to give up something very, very precious because you're trying to meet the expectations of somebody that you so desperately want to love you. And they're wearing you down. Stop. Sit at the feet of Jesus. Wake up early in the morning. Stay up late tonight. And let him remind you of what he's been willing to do. So Martha does her duty. She prepares the dinner. She offers the hospitality. Mary, on the other hand, didn't do any of that stuff. She's all about rest. Martha's busy. And Martha begins to feel this tension that if you are one of these get-it-done people that you felt before. Because not only are you having to do your part, but you're having to do their part as well. And so Martha kind of goes off on Mary here. But Martha's real problem isn't Mary. Martha's problem is in herself. She's become offended. Hadn't she? She's become offended enough to come to Jesus and bother him and say, Jesus, it's like, Daddy, can you tell brother? Daddy, can you tell sister to come in here and help me? She's basically tattling to the Son of God because she's become so offended with what Mary's doing in this moment. An offense and taking offense and always looking to be offended will wear you out. Oh, does that speak to today's culture? I mean, all of us. I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what political leaning you have. All of us, this day and age, it seems, look to be offended. But being easily offended will wear you out. Have y'all ever been there? If you get offended by everything, what they said, what they didn't say, what they may have said, what they look like, what they didn't look like, what they attended, what they didn't attend, where they were, what they didn't invite you to, what they did invite you to. If you are offended by everything, it will wear you out. Because once you're offended by someone, you have to justify it. After you justify it, you have to make sure they get their due. Don't you? They offended me. They have to get what's coming to them. But when they don't, that's even more demoralizing, right? And I think one of the reasons why a lot of people in our country, in our world, are tired and worn out is because they're living in this constant state of looking to be offended. Will some things genuinely offend you? Yes. Some things should offend us. But if you go looking for it, it's going to wear you down. So Jesus responds to Martha's complaint. He's so gracious in it. Watch how he responds. Verse 41 says, but the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it's not going to be taken away from her. Some of us are weary and tired because their priorities are out of order. They've been out of order for a long time. For a long time, you've been putting everything above being rest assured and spending time with Jesus. You've put everything above your commitment to following Jesus. You've put everything, your kids' sports, you've put making money, you've put advancing in your career. You've put trying to look up to a certain part. You've put trying to be happy. And your priorities have gotten all out of order. And so you're missing what real life is, and it's wearing you out. Martha is missing this amazing opportunity to be rest assured at the feet of Jesus because of the mess in the kitchen. And it's not that food wasn't important, because food was extremely important in this culture. Just like it's not that your kids aren't important, they are important. It's not like making money is not important, because it is, right? Hello? If you've ever not made any, you know how important making money is. It's not that your kids' sports and supporting them and instilling belief in them is not important. It's not that advancing in your career is not important. All of that stuff is important. But if you get exhausted and you miss what God has for you because of the mess in the kitchen, it's going to wear you down, and it's going to wear you out, and eventually it will take you out. And some of us today, we're exhausted because we make everything else the main thing except for what's supposed to be the main thing. There's a reason why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Because as I seek him, as I sit at his feet, as I take time to sit in the quiet, as I take time to hear his voice, as I take time to read his word and hear him say to me things that I need to know, things that remind me of who I am, as I take that time, then I begin to be able to handle the other stuff better and I begin to know which direction to go easier. And so I'm not spending all of my energy and effort in managing expectations and trying to live up to a perfect view the world gives me, but I know who I am in him, and then I can live from a rest assured place when I seek him first. But if you wait for you to have time, you're going to continue to run around worn out. Where are your priorities? In Matthew 11, Jesus gives us a special call. And what I don't want you to hear today is I don't want you to hear that because you're tired, you're not spiritual. Because you're tired, you're not where you should be in your relationship with Jesus. I don't want you to hear that today. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, Jesus knew you would be tired in Matthew 11, 28 when he says, come to me. Come to me. That word, those words, come to me, that doesn't signify like some out there kind of thing where I'm just trying to jump to Jesus or something. It's not a religious mindset. He says, come to me. That is a personal invitation. What Jesus is saying is he's literally saying, come, dwell in me. Come, settle in at my feet. He's saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Heavy, burdened and weary, those indicate a hard labor. A hard labor of living life in 2021. A hard labor in trying to manage your responsibilities and trying to get the thoughts out of your head and trying not to compare yourself to the people on the other side of the screen and trying to live a life that your kids can emulate. And he says, if you're heavy laden, if you're tired, if you're weary, if you're heavy burden, if you've been doing some hard labor, he's saying, come to me. And I myself, Jesus says, in who I am, as you sit with me, as you dwell in me, as you sit with me and you let me speak into you and you spend time in the silence and you spend time worshiping me, and as you spend time with me, I will lead you to rest. Rest is not just inactivity in this circumstance. It's refreshing and spiritual renewing. Jesus isn't saying, come to me and I'll make you lazy. He's saying, come to me and I'll give you something so much deeper. So much more than meeting the expectations of other people. So much more than having everything looking perfect around you. He's saying, come to me, dwell in me, sit at my feet. Take the place of my disciple. Come to me. And I will give you rest. To rest assured, you have to plan to rest. Some of you are tired because you don't make rest a priority. And I know what you're thinking. The pushback on this is going to be, I don't have a whole weekend. I don't have 6 hours to sit and rest with Jesus. I got kids to feed. I got mouths to feed. I got kids hollering. I've got grandkids that need me. I don't have time for that. But do you have 20 minutes? Can you start by just planning 20 minutes where you block everything out and you sit at the feet of Jesus? Maybe you just read a book. Maybe you read a Bible reading plan in the Bible app. Maybe you go through some scriptures that you recite over and over, but you have to plan it. We make time for what we really think is important. So Jesus keeps talking in Matthew 11 and 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. I'm humble, I'm gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To rest assured, You've got to prioritize your life. Some of you, you need to plan some time to rest. Some of you, you need to prioritize your life. Because the reason why you're tired today is because you've been doing everything else above resting and being rest assured in who Jesus is. You've been doing everything else. You've even been prioritizing exercise over it, thinking that was the answer. You've been prioritizing your supplements over it. You've been prioritizing yoga over it. You've been prioritizing a whole lot of stuff. And Jesus says, come to me, learn from me. Learn from Mary, who has chosen what is best. If you're unsure about your priorities, write them down. Write them down what they are now and what you want them to be. And then start thinking, how can I really make some changes in my life so that these things aren't my priorities anymore, but these are? The last thing is to rest assured, you have to humble yourself. Jesus says, learn from me. I'm humble in heart. In other words, what Jesus is saying is he's saying, there's a savior of the world. There's a savior of your world and you ain't it. So quit trying. What does it mean to be humble in heart? It means for you to say, it's okay for me to rest in the power and the grace of God because I know he's taking care of it. Everything doesn't depend on me. Everything doesn't depend on you. You can't save those kids. You can't make everybody have a good outlook on who you are and how you raise them and how you look and how your house looks and what the car you drive and the relationship you have and the marriage you have. You can't force them to think a certain way, but what you can say is you can say, I am humble in heart because I know there is a savior of my world and I am not it. So I'm going to quit trying. I'm going to quit trying because I can't do it. Humble yourself. And that is, I know it feels like it's humility because I run around all the time. I try to take care of everything. I'm taking care of everybody. It feels like humility, but really it's pride. If you're going to rest, you're going to have to figure out things will be okay if you take a break. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, I would bet that you're very tired. Trying to keep up. You're tired of trying to earn it. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus this morning, you can say this prayer. It's nothing magic. It's just a confession that you believe in who he is. Just say, Jesus, I want rest for my soul. I believe you're perfect. I believe you died. I believe you rose. I confess that I can't do this anymore. I'm humbling myself. I ask you to come into my life, to save me, to change me, to be the Lord of my life. I'll no longer be the same. I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. For the rest of us, this morning, I think you're tired. And God knows it. I think you're tired of trying to keep up. You've been tired for a long time. You've been running on empty. The last year and a half has been literal hell for you. Just trying to think, what could happen? What is happening? What do I do? What can I do? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? How should I feel about this? And it's absolutely worn you out. Some of you have been tired for so long because you have been trying to keep up with the expectations. This morning, my words to you, and I think what God's words to you would be, is you're tired, but it's going to be okay. Because he has something that can fill your soul. but you have to surrender to him in order to be rest assured. So for the next few moments, I want to do something, and this may be odd for some of us, but I want you to try it. At home, you can close your eyes, and you can think I'm weird for suggesting to do this, and that's fine. I've been called worse, but I encourage you, just try this, just for a second, just for a moment. Close your eyes. Have a comfortable seat. Quiet your mind. And listen. Now take a deep breath in and hold it. And breathe out. As we just read, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Take another deep breath in. Hold it. And breathe it out. See, Jesus didn't say in Matthew 11, you may find rest, or somehow you'll get rest if everything's perfect. No, he said, come to me personally, and I will give you rest. It's a promise. He goes on to tell us that he's gentle, and that in him, our very souls will be rested. Breathe in. And hold it. Breathe out. You can take Jesus at his word. You can choose to take all your cares and worries, your anxiety and pain, your hurts, your habits, your insecurities, your insufficiencies, and give them to Jesus. Are you restless? Are you weary? Are you burned out? Are you worn out? Could this moment be a little taste of the rest he has for you? Remember, he's patiently waiting for you to come to him anytime. And to fill you up, to fill your soul with the stuff you need. Jesus, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for how you love us. Lord, how you're so gentle with us, just like you were with Martha. And you gently correct us. You gently show us the way. God, thank you for your rest. God, I pray that it wouldn't be something that we just do in a church service or that we do every now and then, but that we plan for. God, fill our souls. God, we don't want anything outlandish. We don't want any possessions. We just want rest. Thank you that we can come to you and you will give us rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us. Y'all have a great week.